Welcome to Tune In, Discovering Your Authentic Self. My heartbeat is to connect with others and learn what they are thinking and feeling so I can empower them to find the answers within. We each have the answers inside us, but in order to access all the possibilities, we need to understand the truth of what is really going on inside, instead of choosing habits that shove down our feelings and continue to mask the pain and discomfort. We can rewire these faulty patterns we develop to avoid, but only when we become more aware and admit it to ourselves. We all have a story to tell, and the better we understand ourselves and how we think and feel, we can then make choices that are in alignment with our goals and values and who we want to be in this life. Join me on this Tune In journey. Welcome to Tune In, Discovering Your Authentic Self. I'm laughing because this is my fourth take on starting this because my dog has decided that she is going to make this really difficult for me. She is scratching, she's eating boxes, she's eating tags on clothing, she's jumping up and down from the bed, and it's 6 o'clock in the morning. She's wide awake. So anyhow, I decided to take the month of March off from social media. And I did this for many reasons, but one was I was noticing that I was getting on there more than I wanted to and not so much scrolling. I'm not a big scroller. I have set up my Instagram feed so that everybody on there is either a friend, a family member, or a way for me to learn and get inspired. So it's not that I spend a lot of time on there just like needlessly scrolling and looking up things that suck me in. It's not that. It's more about like feeling the need to share and the need to post and things like that. So that's something that I wanted to dive deep into. And what I found was I actually didn't miss it. So I am going to be coming back in April because it is going to be how I grow my business, and which I'll talk about more at the end of the podcast. But I do need to get back on there and just kind of finding a happy medium where I feel like I am doing it methodically versus emotionally and things like that. So I was really surprised about that I didn't miss it. So what I did want to talk about is other things that I decided to do with my time in March in order to continue on my healing journey. So one is I am in a certification course called Integrated Attachment Theory, and it's through the Personal Development School by Thais Gibson. And at the end of that certification, which will be sometime at the end of May when I take my exam, I will be available and ready to do some relationship coaching. It doesn't even necessarily have to be that you're in a relationship. It could be just discovering some core wounds that you have from childhood, adult life, things that trigger you, and just ways to continually tune in, peel away the layers, and find out who you really are at your core without all the stories and the narratives and the coping skills and all the things that we do to try to protect ourselves. So I'm really, really, really excited about that. It's been so helpful in my healing journey, discovering what my core wounds were, working through them, becoming more secure, learning how to communicate, learning how to have better boundaries. And so this is my passion. This is something I am really excited to go down this road. And by the beginning of the summer, I will be working on getting that up and running. So I've already been a coach for 14 years, but it's just something I've always done on the side and a little bit for fun and with friends and family. But now it's something that I really want to get off the ground and do this for the second half of my career. So speaking of healing, I had been feeling that I was a little bit stuck in my healing process. Now, we all know that healing is not linear, and so you're not always going to have improvements in your healing, but I just kept getting stuck in the same things, you know, or just getting triggered with the same things. And the way to work through trauma and the way to work through healing is not just talk therapy, not just talking and cognitive stuff. trauma resides in the body. And there are so many resources I can share with you if you're noticing that in you, that you actually feel it in your body. And I've talked about anxiety before and how anxiety and the alarm cycle is noticed in your body. So anxiety is not something that's just in your mind. You feel it in your body. And once you feel it in your body, then your mind starts ruminating. And then you just go in the cycle, body, mind. And that just creates that anxiety cycle. So same thing with trauma. It's in the body and everybody presents, it presents differently in everybody's body. For me, I noticed it a lot in my chest. I noticed kind of like a heaviness. I kind of describe it as like a scratching sometimes. It's hard to explain. It's not painful necessarily, but it's just this like gnawing, like ache that happens a little bit in my stomach. Sometimes I'll notice it, but it's mostly in my heart space in my chest. Sometimes it'll present with people not being able to speak their truth. So they'll do a lot of throat clearing. They'll have a quieter voice. They will not be able to get their needs met and state their needs. They don't even know their needs. So some of the tools that I have used in the past for healing, and I still do, and I always will, are meditation, yoga, breath work, cold plunging, sauna, mindfulness, talk therapy, and then tapping, and some somatic processing things. And somatic means in the body. So learning to how to identify what the feelings are in the body, breathe through them, accept them, and notice that it kind of just, it goes through your body if you don't attach to it and cling to it and either shove it down or perseverate on it. So I had been noticing, I love my therapist, he's amazing. But I had been noticing that I'm kind of getting stuck. I'm getting stuck in these triggers that are happening mainly in my intimate relationship with my partner, Joe, and just silly things that, like, after the fact, I'm like, oh my gosh, Nicole, really? Like that? What? Like, why is that bothering you? But, you know, some of those triggers and some of those emotional things are pretty deep, and it's going to take some time to get to the other side. But in an effort to not self-sabotage and destroy a relationship that's really good, I really wanted to get to the bottom of why I was doing this and figure out other strategies that I can do in the moment that weren't what I was doing. So I was at work one Saturday and I was talking to one of my coworkers, and there was a woman sitting behind us. And I, you know, if you really know me, I'm pretty open. I don't hide that many things from people. I feel like in order to do this authentically, I need to be authentic in my personal life and my real life too. And so I was talking to my coworker about, you know, these triggers and things that were bothering me. And there was a woman sitting behind me, and she just comes in and works at our hospital on Saturdays. And she works at one of our sister hospitals up in Phoenix the other days of the week. And she's a case manager, and she overheard me talking, and she was like, oh, she's like, there's somebody at St. Joe's that's a social worker that does something called art therapy. And, you know, I've heard of art therapy before, and I thought art therapy was like drawing, painting, that type of thing, which it is, but this was a different type of art therapy. It was called accelerated resolution therapy. And what she explained to me was that it was kind of like EMDR. So if you know what EMDR is, there's kind of like following someone's fingertips with your eyes. And so the idea is to kind of distract and get to access to deeper parts of the brain when you're doing that. And so she said that, you know, I think that would really help you if you're looking to get past this. And I was like, I am open to anything, always am. And so she gave me her contact information. I contacted her right away. She contacted me in a couple of days, and we set up a time the following week for me to go see her. And so I drove up, it was about an hour away. And I drove up there, and we met in this tiny little church. And I remember texting Joe and being like, this is my location in case I don't make it out, which, you know, it's just, as a woman, you just have to think about those things. And so I met with her. Her name was Linda, and she was so sweet in the church. And we had about an hour session. And the way that it was structured was, at first you kind of go through, you know, if you have childhood trauma, if you have childhood things that you haven't resolved yet. You can go through that. You can go through a specific event. A lot of people have a lot of insidious trauma as a child. It's not so much one event. It's just a bunch of different things that went on and they never really dealt with, and it just kept growing on each other until it became a core wound. So you can go through some childhood trauma if you want. For me, the big thing I wanted to go through were these triggers that I was noticing in my relationship. And so it was really fascinating. And so you go through the trigger, you think in your mind of the triggering event. So I thought of two specifically that had happened over the past month or two, and you go through it just like it happened. And she'll ask you on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, how triggering was that? And because I do a lot of this work and because I am teaching it, like I know what it is after. I can figure it out very shortly after. I can even feel it in the moment, but I couldn't change it in the moment enough for it not to be a problem or even hurtful, I guess, in the moment. So I really wanted to not do it anymore, or at least have the refractory period to be smaller and for the sting to be less for me and for him, honestly. So after you relive the trigger, you rate it on a scale of 1 to 10. And, you know, for me, it was like, it wasn't super triggering. It was like a 4 sometimes. So it wasn't a 10 out of 10 because I've already been there, done that, lived that, and got to the other side of it. And then afterwards, what she had me do is kind of substitute or replace some things in the story that might not be as triggering. And, you know, without going into some personal stuff, just to not get too deep on it because I want to protect his privacy and a little bit of mine until I get to truly the other side of it. You substitute some things in it. So, you know, this is not a trigger of ours, so I can explain this. But just for example, say you were dating somebody or you were married to somebody that was an alcoholic and they drank a lot and you didn't know that they were drinking. And then all of a sudden you found out they were drinking and you would replace the alcohol with like Kool-Aid or water or something like that. So like if you caught them drinking, then that's what they were doing. And so you kind of like laugh about it because it's like, oh, well, I wouldn't really care if they were drinking Kool-Aid. Well, I would, because I think Kool-Aid is horrible for you. My judgment. That's something that I need to be working on. But, you know, things like that, like water, water's good for you. So just being able to substitute it so you actually take the sting out of the trigger. And then like burning things, she had me like burning things or crack, like smashing something that would be bothersome to me, and kind of like working through it in your mind in a safe environment. And I went through two different triggers with her about this. And then at the end of it, you know, I felt okay. I was not upset. I was pretty calm. So I had walked in there, and like on a scale of 1 to 10, I was at like a 4 in terms of being dysregulated. By the time I left there, I would say I was between a 1 and 2, which was fantastic. But what I did notice, so after that, I was driving to the airport. And on my way to the airport, I noticed I was yawning. Like constantly, like every minute to 2 minutes, yawning, yawning. Now, if you don't know, yawning is definitely a sign of peace and calm. And so it was really good. It wasn't like that I needed to fall asleep, but I just was relaxing. I was letting out a lot of things. And she had told me that I would feel tired and I might feel a little bit dysregulated. And I call it an emotional hangover or vulnerability hangover. And so the next day is when I really noticed it. I slept pretty well that night, but I did notice I remembered my dreams. And in my dreams were things that I was actually trying to work through that were triggers. And so that was really interesting, but they didn't dysregulate me. And so I woke up in the morning and I was, yeah, I could feel that I was a little irritable. And I went to work that day, and which is hard to go to work when you're irritable because you're dealing with sick people and you're dealing with very sad situations. And then in the middle of that day, one of the nurse managers that I'm friends with asked me how I was doing. And I went into her office and we talked for a while. and asked her how she was doing. She shared some things with me and I shared some things with her. And at the end of it, she shared the thing that really got me is her daughter can sing. And so she shared this video of her daughter singing on this beautiful property with her nephew and just a song that I loved and kind of folky. She's got like a folky vibe to her. And it was just so comforting and it completely changed my mindset. And for the rest of the day and until then, it's been 2 weeks, more than 2 weeks, I've felt really, really good about it. So what I'm noticing after this art therapy is I'm noticing my emotions in the moment. And I am now okay to sit with the uncomfortable feelings that the emotions bring up, if they're uncomfortable emotions for me. So before, what I was doing is I was feeling very dysregulated at feeling the emotions, and I wanted to get rid of them as fast as possible. So the way that I did that was, to bring up something and to talk about something or withdraw sometimes, but mostly to kind of bring it up and like it was bothering me. But now I can sit in it and it passes. It passes in a minute, 2 minutes. And if it doesn't, then I know that I have the tools to help me get rid of it. So sometimes when I notice those sensations of being triggered, the most helpful thing for me is to get outside in nature, be grounded, and go for a walk. So something that simple. Talking about it necessarily isn't always helpful because what I notice when I talk about things consistently that bother me is I stay stuck in that negativity or that discomfort. And the idea is to get to move it past and get it out of your body instead of sitting with it and continuously talking about it. So for me, walking in nature, hiking, something like that is the most helpful. So it's been really great. It's been over 2 weeks. I haven't had anything trigger me. I've noticed that the emotions have come up and I've been able to sit with them. I've been able to trust in the universe. So accept the emotion, accept the sensation that I'm having in my body and trust that it's there for a reason and that something good is going to come of it. And then make a choice that's going to be in alignment with what goals I have and who I'm becoming as a person. And it's been great. I highly, highly recommend it for anybody that has some childhood trauma or some triggers or some core wounds that they are continuously getting stuck in, that, traditional talk therapy or any of the modalities that I described have not helped with yet. And so hacking my healing has always been really, really something that I've been focusing on. And now I have this tool. I mean, I can't teach it or do it because I'm not certified in it, but at least I can recommend it to other people that are getting stuck in their healing process. So to talk about what's coming next is, so April 3rd, I will be done with my coursework for my certification program. And then I have 2 months in order to study and take the exam. So my goal is to get that done before I leave for my 30th college reunion at the end of May. And get certified in that, and then add that to my arsenal of things that I can help people with when I get my coaching business up and going. So right now, I typically just do it on Wednesdays on my day off, but the goal is to do it half-time, to do my job as a physical therapist half-time and do this coaching half-time, because I just feel like this is the sweet spot of life. And if we can learn to regulate our emotions, if we can learn to identify and become aware of our emotions, and not hurt the people that we love the most in our life, it would be just, I feel like it would save the world. And it's something I'm really passionate about. It's helped me so much and I can't wait to bring it to the world. So stay tuned for this summer when my coaching business goes, I get into it a little bit more than I'm able to right now. So I hope this helps. I hope that you found it useful and I look forward to more podcasts and more learning. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Tune In, Discovering Your Authentic Self. If you found this valuable, please share it with a friend, and it would mean the world to me if you left a review. I love connecting with my listeners, so please reach out to me on Instagram or Facebook at Nicole Renee Jensen.